Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning. I got confirmed and I confessed, I really felt that I was blessed. Plus I love my uniform, so did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I became of age, and all those things I thought were true, someday I'd break the big taboo. Oh, letting go, God.
Hello and welcome to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today is Sunday, November 15th, 2020, and I'm Larry Rhodes, or Doubter 5. And as usual, we have our co-host, Wombat, on the phone with us. Hello, Wombat.
Oh, tailspin. Friends through life, through thick and thin, with another tailspin.
Yay. Welcome, Wombat. Our other guests are Dread Pirate Higgs, Doubtfire, George, and Boudreaux. Hello. Welcome all. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in Knoxville, well, you're just not. There are several atheist, free-thinking, rationalist groups that exist right here in Knoxville, and we'll be telling you how you can connect with them right after our mid-show break. Also, did you know that there's a streaming atheist call-in video show broadcasting here in Knoxville and has been for over 10 years? Did you know that, Wombat?
And it's a quality cartoon, because you would never think that Baloo and all the animals from A Jungle Book could start a plane delivery service in like the 90s. It's really great. I really, really appreciate Disney in like the early like
I'm
90s.
I'm
going
to order you a TV guide
really
or something.
Really advertageous with like the things that they're trying to do with the shows. It's great.
We've been talking about this for over 10 years and you haven't seen it yet? Oh, that's amazing. But anyway, we'll tell everybody how to watch it after the mid-show break, so hang around. If you'd like to interact with us during the show, go to Facebook and search for Digital Free Thought Radio Hour page and use the messaging function to send us questions or comments. Wombat, what's our topic today?
What do atheists believe? And I think we're going to get into a really, really interesting topic, particularly with this panel today.
Right. But we always talk about what we don't believe, but what do we believe?
Exactly. But before we get into it, I'm going to throw it up to our own Dread Pirate Higgs for our weekly invocation.
Arr. I have a song lyric here from a fellow named Tom Lehrer, and his song is titled The Vatican Rag. So just a little verse out of it. Get in line in that processional. Step into that small confessional. There the guy who's got religional tell you if your sin's original. If it is, try playing it safer. Drink the wine. Chew the wafer. 2, 4, 6, 8. Time to transubstantiate.
Genuflect. Yeah, that's a great song. I recommend everybody look it up.
Okay.
It goes on and on.
Hey, I want to do my favorite part of every show. I want to check in and see how everybody's doing. Dread, these are really, really nice glasses that you're sporting. I don't know if you guys can see this on the podcast. They look like straight out of the Matrix.
Professorial.
Yeah. What's good? Very, very nicely done. How you been, Dred? What's going on with you?
I've been busy as heck. Like I told you guys, I'm working on getting into the Teamsters union, the one that the local that deals with all the movies and TV series that are going on up here. There's very currently cool. 44 productions. In the works. So as the new guy, as a reserve, I've got all the hours I could possibly need. I have to drive 6 hours from my home.
Now, are you allowed to talk about what set you were on just last night, or is that like a secret?
Oh no, I was on Batwoman, season two.
Very cool.
And then a week ago, I was on the set of this new series that hasn't come out yet. It's called "Don't Be Afraid of the Dark."
Which Don't is be afraid of the dark. Of
teen, yeah, it's about a bunch of teeners sitting around telling each other scary
I grew
stories,
up with that. So. That was on SNCC. I remember that. That's going to be a bit for next week. We'll keep that in mind. The Midnight Society, go. Throwing sand in the wire. Boudreau, hey, what's going on with you? I like the shirt. What's going on?
Thanks, man. Eating a lot of leftover candy. That's my problem.
Yeah. How was Halloween with you, with your kids? Like, how did it happen?
It was different. It was definitely unique, keeping distance. And of course I built the candy pult, so I was launching candy. And it was fun, but not a ton of kids. So it was unusual, but my kids ended up with so much candy. We're planning on freezing a bunch of it and just, I don't know, just like taking the candy and freezing some of it. And that way, 3 months from now, pull it out and thaw it and eat some more. I don't know. It's a big bag of temptation right now, though. So,
okay, cool. Not bad. Doubtfire, how are you holding up? What's going on?
Doing good, man. Same old, living the atheist lifestyle of worshiping the devil and eating children and stuff.
Nice. So. What's the most delicious children you've eaten so far? Mexican, right?
Yeah.
The only ones that feel filling. Only ones that feel filling. Like, you eat anyone else, it's just like, I'm hungry like 20 minutes later.
So those Italians? I mean, you're hungry? Yeah, you're hungry like 20
so
minutes.
So greasy. Though, once you go black, you go half Indian. I heard about that. I don't know. George, I'm just checking in with you. What's going on? How are you holding up?
Well, I'm doing okay. I have to confess that I met with one of you Knoxville atheists yesterday. Cool. Yeah. He came here to my county, and we went for a walk in the park. Wow. And it was quite nice to meet one of you guys in person for once. And the other thing is I had to leave Walmart in disgust because there were too many people walking around without masks on.
Yeah, that's going on around here too.
You know, it's like in my county of 50,000 people, we have had 24 people die in the last 2 weeks from COVID. Yeah. And I don't know how to talk with these people.
Yeah, it's crazy. No, I mean, we're at a record high right now. And, my point of view on this was we should always take precautions, but let's try to take as much data as we can so that we can improve, our PPE measures, understand what we can do for next time. If this gets worse, we'll be ready. We're in the second wave, and I still feel like we're making mistakes from, day one. And I wonder, how much worse is it going to get before we actually start learning something? Because it would be big shame. If we go through a whole year and don't learn anything, go for it.
We have people who are not wearing masks as a political statement.
Yeah, that sucks. It's political now, too. Boudreau, it sounds like you want to say something.
No, just totally agreeing. It's so weird that this is political.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. Larry, how about this? Bring us some sunshine. How have you been? What's going on with you, my friend?
Oh, doing fine. Been playing a lot of computer games, but staying safe. Cool. Playing computer games is a good way to do it. Watching TV brings too many darn commercials.
Yeah. I've cut the cable so long. I don't think I'll ever want to see a commercial game for the rest of my life. Though, but I will tell you this.
Games at least are interactive.
Yeah. Exactly. Since January, since COVID hit, I've been learning how to do random sports basically by myself, playing against a wall. So like tennis ball against the wall, volleyball against the wall. You can't beat the wall, but the wall will teach you a lesson every single time. That's the weird thing. Like, the wall's going to teach you things, and it's always going to be your fault. it humbles you, and it makes you appreciate, I got to get better at this. And so yesterday I went out, and I had a socially distant game of tennis with a friend. I've never played tennis against a human before. And he's just like, so you never played? Okay, I'll go easy on you. It's like, do you want to serve first? So I was like, sure, I'll serve first. Gosh! It was like perfect smash, sir. Because I've been doing it against the wall for like 6 months now. And he's just like, I can't return that. It hit the ground so hard, it went through the chain link fence.
Oh my God. Yeah, like, right. Yeah, I never played
against a human before. So if you need me to like go down percentages, like I could do that. He's just like, no, that was pretty good.
Anyway,
we're going to be talking about beliefs today because I was talking with a friend of mine about music and he told me that he's really into indie music. I was like, what kind of music do you like? He's like, I like indie music. And I'm like, I don't know what indie music is. I know that there's independent labels, but there's so many different kinds that I don't really know what you mean by indie. He's like, well, it's more of like alternative rock. And I'm like, I don't know what alternative rock is. I just know that it's not rock. It could be so many different things, but that's what those labels mean. Yeah. And he's like, you know, this is a lot like atheism because atheism is just about describing what you don't believe, but nothing about what you actually do believe. And so what I'd like to do is a round table with all of us here where maybe we can just talk about our beliefs. And who else than the meme master himself to start? Doubtfire. Doubtfire, what are some of your beliefs? Why don't we talk about that?
So my belief is, you know, that happy, you know, finding well-being, like mental well-being and physical well-being is probably my first priority in life.
Wow.
So, you know, being an atheist is probably less about trying to know what the truth is about reality. And it's probably more, it probably has to do more with well-being, you know, and being free from cognitive dissonance and worries and things like that. And which is kind of odd because a lot of people equate atheism with just the opposite.
How do you go about doing that?
I just enjoy the here and now. And, you know, I find things to feel good about. You know, I find I feel good about reality in the world and life and people and things and my children and my hobbies and everything else. I just focus on those things and not worry so much about whether gods exist and whether I'm going to hell or heaven or whatever the case may be. Things I don't know and can't control, I don't worry about those things
anymore. Things you can't control, you don't worry about those things. I'm going to throw out one last thing. Like, what do you do about like death? You're not going to live forever. Isn't that going to be a scary situation for you? Like, how do you not think about that?
Yeah. It's a good question. That could go on forever, but you know, that's like one of those real deep questions, but
yeah,
I would say that, I try to get unattached to beliefs and worries, you know, and focus on the here and now. It's all about focus for me. I think about death, of course, you know, every day I think about dying. I think everybody probably does at some point during the day. They think about their own death and mortality. And I just try to understand, I can't control it. It's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen when I die, whether I'm going to go to heaven or not, or whatever, go to hell or whatever the case may be. I don't worry about it because I can't do anything about it. So, you know, I don't know. I'm just kind of, I try to be at peace with it and understand it for what it is. It's just a great moment.
I try to take the mindset of, you know, one of the cool things about not having a belief in the afterlife is I can come to terms with death early on as a means for me to just be more accepting of it when it is my time to go. And I really don't care so much about death. I care way more about dying. I want that to be a smooth process. I am totally fine with everything here being temporary because it would suck if I had to do, if actually I had to live forever. I said Doubtfire when I met Doubter 5, the meme lord himself.
Oh.
Doubter 5. I'm sorry. It's okay. You guys got similar names. Larry, what is something that you think atheists believe? And you want to go into that for
me? Well, yeah. Speaking of memes, I posted one to our little chat before we came on the air, and I'll just tell you what it said on it. Atheists believe most of the things that everybody else does. They believe in a good home for a family, fulfilling work, love for our friends and family, empathy and compassion for humanity in general, and purpose in life. Although we get to set our own, we don't have to have some church setting it for us. we just don't believe in gods. Everything else that we have in common with humanity is something that we have in common with the rest of it. What gets me is that some people get online, like I had a theist yesterday, a particular guy, this particular one was Christian, saying, why do atheists even bother having children if they're going to be living in a godless world? I mean, it's like, are we not human? We're human.
Don't we want to be annoyed on a 24-hour basis and have to freeze candy and stuff like that? Yeah, it's crazy. Though, I would say this, good SE tip. Whenever someone starts reading something from like a screen or a monitor, always be like, well, what does it mean to you? If your name was at the bottom of that quote, I'd be like, Larry, what do you mean by that? But that is what you mean by that. So that's good. Larry, though, I do wonder, is it fair to say that, you know, an atheist is just someone that believes in one less God than a theist in terms of like beliefs?
I would say so, because there are actually religions out there that are atheistic in nature. Buddhism. Buddha wasn't a god. So, Sikhism. You know, they may believe in an afterlife or reincarnation or something, but since Buddha was not a god, they don't believe in a god per se. Mm-hmm. So it's an atheistic religion. Same with Jainism. I mean, Taoism and Shintoism and Confucianism. Most of the Eastern religions are atheistic religions. Mm. People don't realize that.
I have heard the phrase of like, hey, you know, between like an atheist and like one of your more typical theists, or an atheist and a typical theist, like the only difference between the two is the atheist just believes in one less God. And I'd say that's true up to a point, but there's a lot of dogma that comes with a God belief that influences how someone sees the world, that the atheist doesn't necessarily have that same baggage either. So like you might find an atheist that's against abortion, but it won't be for a religious reason. They'll probably find some other reason to apply for it. But just because they don't believe in a God doesn't mean they agree on everything else. Though it tends to be the case that when you're not motivated by a very conservative or stifling dogma, you tend to appreciate rational discourse, which uplifts, in my opinion, a more humanitarian outlook in the world. And we can share that with each other. I'd like to get a frame of thought from Dread Pirate Higgs. George, get ready because you're next. And I don't want you to say, I don't know, forget about it. what is something that you think atheists believe, including yourself?
Me?
Yeah. Yeah,
you, Dread. Okay. Well, I'm pretty much a materialist when it comes to all matters of, you know, existence and consciousness and all the rest of it. I am reading Sam Harris's Waking Up, which I find really interesting because, you know, I've been reading Daniel Dennett and Consciousness Explained and, you know, a bunch of his philosophy around consciousness. And so I'm interested in trying some of the techniques that Sam talks about, you know, the mindfulness and whatnot, to see if there's, you know, sort of a deeper level or a different point of view that I can appreciate consciousness and existence from, rather than simply as a materialistic byproduct of our atoms, you know, kind of being together and doing this stuff. So, yeah, I think it shifts, you know. Hopefully, you know, from this perspective, you don't have a lens that you look at everything through. You know, religion tends to, you know, be very focused on how it filters reality. And so I think from an atheist perspective, you've kind of taken those shades off and, you know, potentially, you know, looking at things without a filter. So
what I also appreciate is with the filter off, you're also more inclined to talk with other people. So even if your view is slightly blurry, it may not be blurry in the same way that someone else is blurry. And in that discourse, the actual objective view can be reached just through consequence of talking to people and being like, oh, it's not like this. Oh, it's not like that for you. Then what is the shared commonality between us? And can we like work together to figure out what is an actual objective truth for all of us, you know, rather than just how we feel it because a book told us. So I think there's good value in there. I like that analogy. George, I'm going to throw this out at you next. Okay.
George, well, what I do think, you think?
go for it.
Well, okay. Your initial question was, what do atheists believe?
Yeah.
I like what you just started talking about, which is discussions with believers. You know, how do we heal the tremendous rift in this country right now between people? Because we have been living for the last 4 years with a demagogue who has been setting people against each other.
Yeah,
fascist. And we are in a period of, an autocrat is right. And we are in a period of intolerance and, you know, intolerance of differing viewpoints. And so there's the question is, how do we heal the United States? Can we heal it? At this point in my life, I want to mention that I'm a lot older than I appear to be. And I'm reviewing my own life right now, you know, coming on the downslope of it. And, you know, at this time, I'm investigating my own automatic behavior, unthinking behavior, and in general, interaction with other people, other people's automatic behavior and unthinking behavior, thinking about the conditioning that filters our perceptions of the world so that we are conditioned to think in certain ways.
Yeah.
And then we react because we've viewed the world through that filter and have effects on other people. And so, you know, you were talking, I think you mentioned the term filter, and or somebody did. And right. You know, we're going to react to other people based upon our own filtered understanding of what we see. And I'm thinking about the fact, I think the fact that religious people who attend religious institutions get indoctrinated at a very early age.
Yep.
And creating the filters. I'm not saying that I don't. I do, but sure. My filters are simply different. So that's what I have to say.
I'd also say, yes, there are different kinds of filters and everybody has them. But the question is like, which is inhibiting being able to reach out to and learn from other people? And is the filter that says, I'm the chosen person from this holy being, you know, and everyone else, if they don't believe me, are going to a bad place to burn for all of eternity. In my head, you're making an us versus them sort of mentality. Whereas with an atheist point of view, it's like, hey, I don't believe that. I'm just going to, and if that's the case, what really does matter? And like, what can I do now that I know that my actions have consequences with other people? And hopefully I can come up with a morality that's not religious based and learn how to interact with people. And maybe I can figure out how to treat people better and improve our mutual, you know, welfare if we all work together. There's so many truths in that. And I just want people to, know that like atheists are always thinking about stuff like this. It's not just, hey, babies are delicious. Right? It's like, we are constantly thinking about this all the time. Anyway, Rujo is shaking his hands. He's ready to go. Rujo, what do you got? What do you think atheists believe?
I did want to point out too, for the audience, anyone watching, we were not cutting off George. He's got a video lag issue, right. And we saw him talking while you were talking, and that was him talking before.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny.
This is the first thing I thought of when you brought up the topic was the lead singer from Bad Religion, one of my favorite bands I bring up any chance I get, has always said that you know, he hates the label atheism because it's a representation of what he doesn't believe, not what he believes. So he likes humanist, secularist, you know, that kind of a idea, which I agree. But I made the point before that really as a group, all of us, and there's a spectrum of, you know, atheism. And like you said, there are some religions that aren't necessarily, you know, God beliefs. And there's a group of people that all are kind of like the same. We all think similarly, and we don't have really a label for that. And I wish we did, because then we could be a much bigger demographic, a bigger checkbox on a census form to get more weight, you know, even politically. Like if we had a you know, some political figure that said, I am a, you know, a nun or a, you know, humanist or whatever the term might be, you know, we could actually say, you know, hey, something like a quarter of the population, you know, doesn't believe in a God, or probably even more. But we have a hard time labeling us as a group, because I think we're so different, you know?
Yeah.
And that's tough. George raising his hand. I don't
either that or yeah, he raised his hand 4 minutes ago. Can't tell.
you know, it's the statistic that I'm more used to seeing is that I think a quarter of the people in this country aren't members of any organized religion.
Mm.
But not that they're atheists. I think the number of atheists is much, much smaller than that. But growing, hopefully. I'd say hopefully. Yeah. And also, and the other thing I wanted to mention is that you'd say, what do atheists believe? And it's almost like I have to look at that and say, what do atheists not believe? You know, look at it from the opposite side. And
man, that's a weird
thing. I have
like
to say, are atheists all good people? Well, no, I think maybe Hitler was an atheist, you know?
No, he was not. Let's handle that real quick. He was not an atheist. That's a meme. He is not an atheist. Yeah, Larry, okay. You want to handle that? You're on mute, by the way. You're on mute, by the way, Larry. Larry's talking. Yeah.
I had a whole article. I have a whole article on it on my website. He was a Catholic, and he even says in Mein Kampf that our movement is Christian.
Yeah.
So in his own words, he was saying it was a Christian movement. And he also said that not only have we taken care of the Jews, we've taken care of the atheists. We have actually gotten rid of them, is what he said in his words.
And Dripper, I saw your hand. You're going to have the first talk when we come back, but we just want to make sure we tackle that because we don't want, you know, religious people to say like, oh, we got them, atheists and Hitler. And in 4 years from now, we'll be like, oh, we got them, atheists and Trump. They're the same thing. Like, just wait for it. Anyway, Larry, you want to take us out? We're already at the half of the show. Sure.
This has been Digital Free Thought Radio Hour, at least the first half of it. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back with more topic. See you in a minute.
Well, sometimes it gets hard. Dear God, there's a lot of questions that I have about the past. And I don't want to hear it from a human. You made it, so you're the last person that I'm ever gonna ask. Tell me what's real, tell me what's fake. Why is everything about you a debate? What's the point of love? Every time I showed it, I was broken, and it's forced me just to only want to hate. Why is it only one you but multiple religions? Why does every conversation end in a division? Why does everybody want to tell us how to live, but they won't listen to the same damn message that they give? Tell me how to feel, tell me what's wrong. I tried to call, pick up the phone, I'm on my own. Everybody says you coming back to man. Why the hell's it taking so long? Why do I hurt? Why is there pain? Why does everything good always have to change? Why does everybody try to profit off another man's work then destroy it just for monetary gain? Tell me, are you black or are you white? I don't even really care. I just really want to know what's right. They've been saying one thing, but I've been looking in the book, and it seems like they've been lying for my whole damn life. Tell me where I'm going. Is it heaven or hell? I just hope this message greets you well. Had a dream that I was walking with the devil. Don't remember how it feels, but I swear that I remember the smell. Looked me right into my eye and told me everything I wanted could be mine if I gave up and decided to sell. But I said I'd rather die than get mine. Now I'm here. No fear, one man with a story to tell. Dear God, where were you when I needed it?
Welcome back to the second half of the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm Doubter 5, and this is Sunday, November 15th, 2020, the second half of the show. Let's talk about the Atheist of Free Thought groups that you can join right here in Knoxville. First, there's the Atheist Society of Knoxville. ASK was founded in 2002, and we're in our 18th year. We have over 1,000 members, and you can find us online at knoxvilleatheist.org, or you can go to Meetup and search for Knoxville Atheist. It's just that simple. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, you should still go to Meetup and search for an atheist group in your town. Don't find one. Start one. Right. Another large free-thinking group here in Knoxville are the Rationalists of East Tennessee. You can find RET at rationalists.org. Go there and click on upcoming events to find out what they're up to. During the show, we said we'd talk about the Knoxville Atheist Call-In TV/Video Show. Well, it's called the Freethinkers United Coalition of Knoxville. You can find it on YouTube. Just go there and look for their three for those words, or you can look for their archives called Free Thought Forum Knoxville. Either one will find about 10 years worth of past shows that you can watch on YouTube at your leisure. Also, if you're interested in becoming involved in this TV or this radio show, just go to the Ask page or the Ask site at KnoxvilleAtheist.org, or go to rationalist.org and leave a message. You could be our next co-host or guest. Where do you want to pick up there, Wombat?
We're talking about famous chants to be used at political rallies. And my favorite, of course, is the one that goes like, na, 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 na. Hey, 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 where is the love? Where is the love? The love, the love. Hey, we're listening
from our listeners.
Love from our listeners, some listener feedback. We have Peter Thomas. Oh, we got a lot of comments on last week's show, guys. We rubbed a lot of feathers. We were talking about Trump and misinformation, and apparently there are a lot of people who are like, hey, don't talk about my guys. Like, hey, we talked about him. Anyway, Peter Thomas wanted to say that, hey, he reads Animal Farm every election year. Good perspective to refresh yourself on powers that change hands. And so thank you, Peter Thomas. Animal Farm is a really, really good book to read. Maybe give it a couple of months, maybe February, March. Pick up that book and read it if you haven't already. Right now it's kind of depressing.
It's a great nice book, and it opens a lot of issues up. Who was it? What was the other book he wrote?
George Orwell?
1984.
It opens up classic. A lot
of the same topics.
Mm-hmm. Classic, and such a good one too. Especially like newspeak and how people use words and switch them around.
Right. Very important at this particular point in history.
Very, very important. Always important.
I enjoy books, the occasional megasomacoma.
What? Say it one more time.
I enjoy the occasional megasomacoma.
Okay.
That was a 1984 Lost thing.
How was it?
Okay.
Yeah. Been too long, I guess.
Yeah, we got to pick that up. I was 1 year before I was born. Anyway, Dada's Trading Room, a good friend of the show, says, yeah, another great show, guys. If I can't win voting in my own country, at least I can be happy for you guys. Congratulations. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. What a great day.
For sure.
All right. Random Funny Videos has said, hey, you can't take real truth from real stream media, Google and Twitter. You have to be intelligent with where you get your news from. And it's very true, too. You know, I know this sounds bad, but I'm waiting for the day when they finally turn. But if I need news from a sober voice that's at least well researched, or at least where I can see where the citations come from and it's relatively ad free, I go to Wikipedia. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, Wikipedia, anyone can change this. Like, true, but there's a citation link and you can see who's changing it. You can see what it looked like before. And I can always use those as a firmer reference to bounce off and do my own research past that point. But
no matter what source you use, verify. That just go to other sources and cross-reference, see what other people are saying, verify what you've read.
Yeah, there's never a top 10 list on Wikipedia. It's like 10 ways the election was rigged. It's like, no, you're just gonna get sober information. Anyway, hey, we were talking about what do atheists believe, and I wanted to give Dredd a chance to finish a thought that he had in the first half of the show. Dredd, you had raised your hand before. What was it that you wanted to bring up?
Well, actually, one of our viewers, Min, he brings this up. He says, being secular is not necessarily being an atheist. One can be spiritual in their worldview and believe in secularism at the same time.
True. Very true. Very true. Yeah, totally fine. I actually like the label secularist. I have an issue with the label humanist, and maybe we can go on this. I'll devil's advocate this a little bit more, but in my opinion, you're not really fighting for change of culture, you're not really a part of that identity group. So if someone says, hey, I'm a feminist, but it's totally fine with letting, you know, misogyny run rampant and not fighting for women's rights, but they just like the label because it makes them feel good. It makes them, you know, feel a little bit better than people around them. That person's not really a feminist. If the person is against racism, but is completely complicit to racism, that person's not against racism. Like, that person's not a humanist, even if they call themselves a humanist. Or in this sense, the human race is a really big thing. And there's so many things going on terrible tragedies, rights, violations against rights against humanity, that I can't even keep track of them all. And so for me to call myself a humanist sort of implies that not only am I aware of a majority of these things, which I'm not even close to, like, you know, 1%, but that I'm actually trying to change the culture to make all these really terrible things not happen anymore. And I'm not. I'm waking up every morning, I'm doing my job, and I'm coming back home, and I have some hobbies on the side, but I'm not really actively trying to fight against these things. So do I really deserve the label humanist? And who does, in a sense? I would say, though, if we were to frame it down and keep it like more focused of like, what do I actually work to change? And what do I actually put my effort into? Secularism, critical thought, good communication between people, science. Like, these are things that I'm actively funding and dedicating my life to. And these are things that I can actually do. But I always raise an eyebrow when I hear someone say, I'm a humanist. And I'm like, well, what march have you gone to? Like, what violation have you stopped? What legislation did you help pass? Or are you just saying this word to make you feel good? Is that a fair thing to say? And who has the hottest fire on this? Let's see. I'm going to go to Boudreaux. It seems like you would probably give me the hottest one. Boudreaux, what do you think? Is that a fair thing to say? No one's really a humanist?
Yeah, I don't know. This one sounds to me like semantics. Really, maybe, because I guess I never really thought of it. I'm the one that threw out the term, I guess. So when I throw out humanist, I'm really just trying to say I care about all people, you know, everybody, regardless of religion, race, any of it, culture. I'm just a big fan of people, humans. So do I have to march
mascot and go to?
I don't know. I'm not disagreeing with you. I guess I'm maybe trying to.
No, please disagree.
Difference in definition here, but like to me, you know, I don't think it necessarily implies that I'm, you know, cruel to animals or anything, but it just says I'm just focused on humans in general, just regardless of where they come from. I'm seeing some hands come up. Maybe.
Yeah, Dredd, you want to weigh in?
Yeah. Well, just going on what Boudreaux was saying. I engage in humanist activities. Mm-hmm. So I think by virtue of that, I could call myself humanist while not engaging in every humanist activity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think in that sense, there's certainly degrees or areas of focus in humanism that, you know, one can certainly say, yeah, I'm a humanist.
Okay. Larry, what do you got?
Well, I actually looked it up because I think it's important to get a good definition on these. It says here that it's an outlook or system of thought attaching prime importance to human rather than divine or supernatural matters. Humanist beliefs stress the potential value of goodness of human beings, empathizing common human needs, and seek solely rational ways of solving human problems. So that makes me a humanist. That's pretty much all I ever thought it was. It's just human concerns rather than divine or supernatural matters. So, you know, I don't know what else other people put to it, but that's all I ever think about it.
Doubtfire, what do you got? I saw you throwing up deuces.
Try to pick out the logical fallacy here.
Okay.
No true humanist doesn't march. Only a true humanist does. Only a true humanist.
I love it.
Yep.
What fallacy is that?
No true humanist. I like it.
No true humanist. Okay. George, what do you got? I saw you raising your hand. What's up?
Well, it's really interesting because I too went to a search engine and had to look it up. But now, mind you, that being an organic atheist, when I was 4 years old, my American Ethical Union, and the definition of humanism in Wikipedia almost begins with a reference to the American Ethical Union. And the New York Society for Ethical Culture is like the flagship of the whole thing. I was taken to the Brooklyn Society for Ethical Culture, which, you know, is a little branch of the New York one. And so I've been wondering, what does this term really mean? Larry, thank you. Thank you for weighing in on that already.
Sure.
I have a friend who describes himself as a retired Catholic. And Now he says, I am a secular humanist. And I keep on scratching my head and say, well, what's the difference between that and an atheist? And honestly, I don't know. And I still don't know. And I don't know what it means in his own head either.
I will say, well, so,
you know,
go for it, Dred.
Yeah, I think it actually goes to the point that Wombat was making about not being labeled something you aren't and finding a label that appropriately describes what you are. And I think that's the difference.
Very cool. Yeah. And thank you for bringing up that definition, Larry. Normally, I hate it when people are like, well, Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines blank as, but that was a very effective definition. I would say, yeah, in that capacity, absolutely, I would fall into the humanist label as well. I do wonder, is there a notion that people subscribe to labels to make them feel more important or at least satisfied with their well-being?
Sure.
or spiritual health, but they don't ever really truly understand the weight of the word or are willing to fight for any of what it means. Mm-hmm. And I see that not only just on the non-religious side, but also religious side as well. Like, how many times have you seen a Christian say, like, well, I'm a Christian. And meanwhile, they're doing non-Christian things all the time. I don't even know if Trump knows how to hold up a Bible the right way. Or Muslims that eat bacon on, like, on the regular and chili and stuff like that. You know, there's cow in there. It's like, I like it, though. That weighs it. Scott, that fire, would you like to weigh in on the idea, like,
yeah.
Is it possible to cosmetically hold on to the label of humanism, but not really support humanism not in the sense that Larry was talking about, but more in like the sense of just, I like to sound like I care about everybody, but I really don't.
Right. Well, this gets back to another, this actually, the answer to that question may be in the answer to this. Ooh, other question.
I love it. I love it. Throw it at me. Throw it at me, man.
Is it possible that people do and believe things and they don't know why?
Sure.
Yes. Yeah. I would Absolutely. Say so. Yeah.
Yeah. I was reading psychological information last week. I just got really into that. And it was basically saying that most people form their beliefs and they have, and what they attribute it to is not the real reason why they believe it under
absolutely
intense scrutiny. So if you're an atheist or you're a humanist or you're a theist or a Christian, the reason you believe may not be, it probably will not be for the reasons you express them to be.
Right. And not only that, but they might not even be reliable, which is why SC is so important to have these conversations with people, regardless of wherever they are on the religious spectrum, to figure out why do you believe what you believe? How did you reach that conclusion? It's so healthy just to talk about that, because you might even still have the same belief, but you might find a better way to get there. And yeah, that's very, very good. Dred, did you want to weigh in something?
No.
Okay. No? Okay. I would say this. When I moved to Europe to do some work, that was the first time I realized that a lot of the beliefs, a lot of the outlines that I thought I existed in did not actually exist where I thought they were. And it wasn't until being taken completely out of my environment and being put in a new place, I see you, George, that I realized, this is why didn't I eat ice cream that looked like this? Why do I like this music? Why do I not like this? Like, I have to reconstruct myself as a human being, as my identity, because I don't have the pressures on me in certain places anymore that I realize, there's more to me about this. So what you're saying, Doubtfire, is absolutely true. Like, you can totally believe things without even realizing why you believed it. And it isn't until you take the weight off that you're like, whoa, what's that doing there? George, what do you got?
I just want to say, if you are watching this program for the first time or listening to it for the first time, that Wombat has used the term SE twice already. And I just want to let you know what that stands for.
Is hey!
Epistemology.
Nice.
Street epistemology. Wait, let me finish my word. Street epistemology. And why don't you explain a little bit about what that is for the newcomers?
Dred, how about you explain it?
Well, it's essentially Socratic examination, where through dialogue, we get to the root of what people believe and why, not necessarily what they believe, but how the methodology by which they come to believe the things they do.
Nice. And in my opinion, I like Socratic examination better as a label.
I actually do myself as well.
because if I have to explain what street epistemology is by saying it's Socratic examination and then seeing people go like, oh, that's what that is. I mean, like, let's just get rid of this really arbitrary abstract word and use the more useful term that everybody knows. It's the same thing with interlocutor versus interview partner. Exact same number of syllables, but one person's going to understand what interview partner means way more than interlocutor. Mm-hmm. I write a lot of science. Go for it, Larry.
I'll have to change my logo up here.
Yeah, change that logo. Let's change it. Let's start some schisms in SE. I like the idea of like, hey, it's like in scientific writing, it's all about being as efficient as possible to explain things as clearly as possible. Mm-hmm. So big words are really fancy, but only use them if you need to. Otherwise, use very simple words to express what you mean very clearly. That's way more effective because it's all about effective
communication. And it's all about your audience, right?
You know, exactly. Yes.
If we're all sitting in a circle and we all know what street epistemology is, well, use street epistemology. But, you know, talking to a less informed or less educated audience, then you use terms that are appropriate to bring them in.
Let's chat. Yeah.
Let's chat. Exactly.
Yeah. That's it. That's all it takes. All right, man. We had a really, really great roundtable on the idea of labels and atheism. I would say this, though. Can we maybe go a roundtable and labels only, give me some ideas of how you would describe yourself that does give me some inferences about you positively. Like, for example, for me, scientist, musician, son, cat owner. Yeah, I'm a good, proud cat dad. All those things, I think, are much more effective, realistic definitions of what I actually am rather than describing the things that I don't do. Doubtfire, how would you describe yourself in a couple of labels?
Music creator, poet.
Whoa, poet?
Conversationalist.
Nice.
Someone who loves to learn about new things.
Nice. I like that. Yeah. Boudreaux, what do you got?
Well, musician, I guess, too, but unique ones, programmer. I love computer science and that, but there's an art, I think, to software development, and it's something I love. So, like,
developer. I had no idea about this about you. That's great.
Yeah.
I'm learning about you now. I'm learning about things that you actually are now. That's great. I knew you were an atheist for years, but now I know things that you actually are now. That's great. I didn't know
which, and I don't know why we didn't bring this up before, but someone famously said, calling atheism a religion is like calling bald a hair color. I think that kind of makes it a lot easier to think about. Yeah. Well, atheism just tells you what you're not. Not, you know, I'm not a redheaded bald person.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, it's the thing. Did you have more labels? I'm sorry for interrupting.
I don't know. Engineer, cool dad.
You're a cool dad. You're a good friend too, man. It's you're a really friendly person, great person to meet when I was in Kentucky. Really rewarding friendship from you, and I can see that even from your own friends, they really value you, and that's really great. Dread, well, you got some labels for you. I know you're gonna have the coolest ones, so go for it.
I'm a philanthropist. I think I'm an educator. I'm a thinker, and I'm passionate.
Yeah. And he's also Canadian. Did you hear that? A boot?
I'm Canadian. Sorry about that. I forgot to include that.
And Pastafarian.
It's
a Pastafarian. Yes.
I'd love to see more Canadian pride. I'd like to see like Captain Canada, like with just the maple leaf on the shield and going about it. He deserves his own movie. Yeah,
I agree.
George, what do you got? What's some labels that you identify with?
Okay, some labels for myself.
Yeah.
Out of order of importance. I'm a musician.
Nice.
And I want to tell you how I got to this for a moment, if you would like.
Absolutely. Go for it. You got the floor.
Okay. When I was about 5 and a half, my mother said, "We've got only so much money. I'm going to give you a choice. You can have Hebrew lessons or you can have music lessons." What the hell kind of a choice was that? I studied music for the next 22 years. There's your answer, Mom.
Excellent.
Wow.
Okay. I'm an amateur, meaning lover of computer-human interface I've done a little work in that as well.
Very cool.
I'm a creative person, very much so. A street psychologist.
A street psychologist? What does this mean? You're going to have to describe that for me.
It means I'm not a professional, but I'm a very studious observer.
You'll tell people what's wrong with them on the street. Just like, hey, don't you see these clothes don't match? What's going on with you?
I've also studied music psychology, which has been a big part of my understanding of music. And I'm a wonderful teacher. And I don't know which to place the greatest emphasis on.
That's totally fine. We got to throw a New Yorker in there. There's that, even though you are in Tennessee right now, right?
My, you know what's really interesting about that, being in the Bible Belt here,
yeah,
is that I noticed that the longer I've been here, the stronger my New York accent becomes. It's so perverse.
It's true.
I tried to lose it so I could go into radio work, and I did. And look at what I sound like now. It's horrible.
So when I moved to Georgia from California, I made some very sober points in my head where it's like, I will never say y'all. I'm not going to like grits. I know these words. I'm not going to saying them. I like these things and I'm not going to do these things. Like I made that, I felt the machinations in my head. And so like, even now it's just like, don't say these things. These are like, not my purview. But yeah, I could totally sympathize with getting a stronger accent when you're in a place that does not have it. It's just like, I gotta focus on me. Larry, what's some labels that identify you?
Oh, well, first things, I guess, a husband and stepdad.
Nice.
I'm an atheist author and blogger, a writer. I also ride a motorcycle, so I'm a rider there, too. Different kind. Make memes. I make memes, a lot of memes. Yeah,
you make a lot of memes.
Yeah, I do play the guitar, program computers, and I'm a big gamer.
You are.
PC gamer.
That's great. Yeah. Very cool. And you know what I like about this is we've known each other for a while, like even all these people on the shows. But this is like, in my opinion, like the first time where it's like, oh, that's who you are. Or like, I didn't even know these things about you. This is great. And so I think it goes such a long way to look just past the atheist label and realize how limited, really, really, truly, but also limited, realize how limited a scope of what, hey, I'm a person that doesn't believe in a God, actually tells you about the person who has that persuasion. And yeah, look past that label and try to find out what people are in their own terms, in their own words. Larry, that's up for the show today. What do you got? You want to close us out?
Sure.
Oh, let me get the plugs from everyone. I apologize. Let me last okay. plugs.
Go ahead.
Dread Pirate, where can we find your stuff at? Are you streaming? What's going on with you, man?
Yeah, live streaming right now as we speak. So that's 8 o'clock in the morning, PST on Sunday mornings. And you can find me at Mind Pirate, MindPyrate.
Very, very nice. Doubtfire, what would you recommend we check out in the next week?
Wow. Think about that.
There's one way for us to grow in 7 days. What would you recommend that we check out?
Oh, wow.
Oh, he takes these questions so seriously. I love it. Other people are just like, I don't know. I saw this video of a talking cat. I think it was pretty awesome. Go for it. Scott's like, oh, this is a moment.
Whatever your beliefs are, challenge them. Go somewhere. Go look at information that is counter to your beliefs. And just try to understand them and try to see them in these positions. Try to open your mind and look at things from another perspective. Whatever it is, that's what I would.
Nice. Yeah, very cool. George, what instrument would you recommend that people pick up if they had the opportunity to pick up?
Well, definitely the recorder, because it's an instrument that I have taught. And it is the reason why I say the recorder is so good for an amateur and a beginner, is that it's an instrument that gives positive feedback very early. So you tend not to doubt yourself so much when you play it.
I love
that's why I like it so much. And you can get good, cheap plastic ones too.
Absolutely.
I have been, in answer to your unanswered question, I have rediscovered an album named Paper Music by Bobby McFerrin, and it has shown me what a superb classical musician he is and what an excellent conductor the man is. So Very I'm cool. going to recommend revisiting that album.
What was the name of the album again? Paper Music?
Paper Music.
Paper Music.
And it's with him conducting the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra, which is a wonderful ensemble as well.
Beautiful. Boudreau, what would you recommend we check out over the next week?
I'm glad you threw this to me because I just heard that if anyone's an Xbox Live person, Jedi Fallen Order, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order came out on that. I mean, I paid $50 for the game. It's free if you're Xbox Live, whatever.
Oh, wow. That's great. That's so great.
I'm a gamer from old school. I'm a PC gamer, but we just got this Xbox during the COVID. And I got to tell you, man, the game is so satisfying. It's so fun. I don't think you don't even have to love Star Wars, but it is a satisfying game. It's so much fun. My wife would sit next to me with her iPad, like searching for, you know, because we don't care about cheating, searching for like all the good items are. And she'd say, go that way, go that way. And
wow. That's some quality time.
Those are
that's
family
quality time.
Family thing. So check it out. Yeah. You'll thank me later.
That's a beautiful relationship you guys have. Let's see. All right. I think we got everybody. Hey, I'm Let's Chat. You can find me on my own YouTube channel, on Cordial Curiosity's channel. You guys should know him. It's Read Nice Wonder. Also, Dolly, who's Juggling Lessons, is his SE channel. And Abstract Activist, which is Nathan's channel. We are doing live streamed reviews of our videos that we are editing. We all have a backlog, and we're just editing them during this COVID stay. And we give each other critical feedback on what we could do better, what kind of questions we would ask and at certain points in the conversation. And I recommend that you check them out. I'll post a link to them in this video description. Dredd, one more thing? Go for it.
Yeah, Fanny Anzai, she was going to do an interview with me. So I'm looking forward to having that. And that will be on her channel. And I'll let everyone know where to find it when it comes out.
Cool. Larry, it's all you. Oh, by the way, Larry, I have this weird problem. There's this thing called atheism, and I want to know what it's all about. Do you have any way I can figure this out?
What a segue. I happen to have a book. It's called Atheism, What's It All About? And it is available on Amazon. So I just want to say we've been talking about what an atheist believes. And if you're in the audience or listener and you want to know what an atheist believes, don't ask your preacher.
Yeah,
many people do. Find and ask an atheist. We're easy to talk to, and we're out there and easy to find generally, especially online.
Yeah,
this has been the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. Be sure to visit digitalfreethought.com for our radio show archives, our atheist songs, many articles on the subject. If you're having trouble with leaving religion behind, many people have trouble, problems, mental and emotional problems, go to and look for recoveringfromreligion.org. If you have any questions about the show or for the show, you can send them to askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org, and we'll answer them on future shows. And if you're watching this on YouTube, be sure to like and subscribe to be notified when new episodes come out. And remember, everybody is going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life. And we'll see you next Wednesday. Say bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Simply